Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a weekly program of conversations with writers in the studios of North State Public Radio. Now here's your host, Nancy Wiegman.
Today I'll be talking to several guests about straw bale design and construction. My first guest actually lives in a house constructed of straw bales in Chico. Later in the hour, I'll talk to the author John Swearingen of Straw Bale Building Details, an illustrated guide for design and construction, and a workshop coordinator, Jenna Yu. So first, Randy Crawford, welcome.
Thank you.
And you actually live in a straw bale house.
Yep.
How did that come about?
Through a lot of very interesting threads just kind of happened. A good friend of mine lives there, and we started hanging out, and sure enough, you know, she bought the house, and I'm just kind of a strike of luck as well, just because I've had experience with them in the past, and then here I am. So,
well, now, the ordinary person doesn't have really the knowledge to evaluate, well, do I want to live in a straw bale house? What are the advantages, disadvantages? So were you knowledgeable in straw bale houses when you moved into this house?
Most definitely. Most definitely. To the fact where I was just kind of looking around to just, you know, check certain things because there's things that have been done a certain way in the past. And a lot of builds have proven some of those things to not be so good. And so this being built in the, you know, like 2000, basically, I just checked things out just to see what kind of materials I was dealing with before she actually bought it, to, you know, and asked lots of questions just to make sure there wasn't something that was going to catch us in the tail later because there was a technique that was being used that was accepted back then.
My guest is Randy Crawford, and he's telling us about his straw bale house, which he lives in here in Chico. You say the house was built in 2000. Now, did you know the builder?
No, I did quite a bit of kind of stretching to find out who it was. And to tell you the truth, it's been really hard to come up with a name or anybody to disclose a name of who did it. I know that it's a she, and I know that she actually studied in Mexico previous to the house. And then she came here, and I don't know how much of it she did. I don't know if there was a contractor that just did the frame, and she was ahead of the straw and the, you know, the plaster. So I'm not really sure, but the style definitely has a mix of, you know, some of the places in Mexico. So especially with the tiles and stuff like that.
Well, the fireplace, for example, looks like it could be the fireplace in an adobe house.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I mean, the construction of that is, you know, I got to ask the owner, like, how that was made and constructed. And so it was interesting. You know, the look of it is more, I think in that house, the look of that is much more pleasurable than the actual ability to heat the house, unless you have it burning all day, then it can. But
Well, do people ever just ride by and say, oh, there's a straw bale house? Would they notice? Would they realize that it's a straw bale house? Does it look different? How does it look different?
Well, specifically, the corners on the house are rounded, and there's one thing I haven't defined that's to the right of the door, which I didn't point out to you, was that it's covered up with the board and it has the number of the house on it. And I need to basically just make a frame and get a nice piece of glass and put some hinges on it and make a door. And on straw bales, when they build them, they usually incorporate this thing called a truth window. And yeah, you know about those. So that you can basically, you know, people just say, oh, come on, it's got straw on it, really? And then you show them that and they can open the little door and touch it. And so...
So I have seen pictures in the author's book that I'm going to be talking to the author later. He includes photographs of what you're referring to as truth windows, and sometimes they're covered with glass, or it looks like a piece of artwork on mm-hmm. the wall, and then you open this, it's hinged, and there's the straw inside the wall. It's like getting a cross-section of the interior of your wall.
Yes. Yeah, it's very
so
cool.
You don't, people don't have to take your word for it. They can open it. Oh, this really is made of straw bales.
Yep.
Now, you also mentioned you were going to do this construction. You were going to build a door. So you're actually a contractor yourself, are you not?
I'm not a contractor, but I do work with wood and do like to take on pretty unique and custom projects. So, yeah, things like that would be a lot of fun.
What are some of the projects you have done to customize this house to make it yours?
I've made some additions inside, just basically trying to be really sensitive as far as, you know, stick with what they got and use the same style of trim work and big fat quarter round stuff that they use and tongue and groove, and mostly try to either oil or stain the wood, you know, the best I can to match everything else. And more or less, some of the choices that were made on some of the houses, like all houses, we have to, you know, make a choice at the time, do it, and then, you know, nature will show you whether it works or not. So that's basically what's happened with some of it.
Well, what do you like about living in a straw bale house?
I'd have to say the sound. There's a groundedness about walking around in there barefoot, whether you have clay floors or cement floors. There are studies as well when it comes down to like EMFs of all sorts penetrating the wall.
You might define EMFs.
Yeah, electrical magnetic fields. So other than the fact that we do have a router inside that gets shut off every night, that type of thing. But as far as stuff from the outside, it helps cushion you a bit from that, having that natural material around. It's, a lot of it is the sound. It's amazing how much it blocks out at night that you don't notice.
My guest is Randy Crawford, and he lives in a house built of straw bales. It was built about 2000. And Randy, I'm just asking him what he likes about living in a straw bale house. And you, I mentioned the improvements that you have done. Because you were kind enough to show me your house, that you built a fence around it. And so you have those skills that you say, this needs a fence. And then you also showed me a deck. You plan to reconstruct the deck?
Yes. Yes, there's some balconies on either end of the house. And, you know, some of the stuff is put together real funky. So it just, in the sense of whenever I build something and it has everything to do from, you know, the size of a house down to a railing on a deck, is that I always go into being the water. And knowing that, you know, it's attracted to gravity, but then what's it going to do on its way down, being that it likes to drool on everything? And and so it's kind of, that's where I go. And some of these designs I find outside sometimes didn't stand the test of time, or they weren't thought out. And so just, you know, because we have younger kids in the house who lean on the railing and stuff like that, I've just beefed it up and replaced some of the stuff. And I do still like the visual aesthetic of the stuff that was put in. Just happens to be that, you know, it might not have been thought out on the other side. But
so one of the advantages that you appreciate is the quiet.
The quiet.
That the insulation is superb, if I might say that. And then what you've named are not exactly disadvantages, but just as people build these houses, they learn, oh, this works better than that does.
Right.
And when you see something that you think could be improved, you have the skills to do it yourself.
Yes, definitely.
So that's really an advantage rather than a disadvantage.
Yes.
Are there any disadvantages that you would caution somebody about if they're considering a straw bale house?
Really, if they were going to have one built, then working with the person who's going to be qualified to do that kind of building is going to probably inform them and work with them to a certain point. Like, quickly as an example, the one I live in has stucco as an outside shell. That's not something I'm completely familiar with in the sense of, or in the relationship with straw, because when you learn about straw and the relationship with clay and basically silica, because they're both silica rich, and the way that they move moisture is phenomenal. So it's almost like, why would you choose anything else? Now, when you get into that, though, one of the things that comes down to it is if someone's going to have that built or move into a place like that, is that either you need to know that you're going to hire someone to come and possibly mend cracks, or it's something that you don't really need a skill, but you can be involved with as you keep an eye on your house and, you know, as it shifts with the land and stuff like that. That's the only thing I can see is just really keeping an eye out of how a safety eye for the bales, because once anything happens with the bales, realistically, when they're exposed before we build and we have them in piles and that type of thing up on pallets with a tarp over them, is they've got to really be watched and they can't get wet of any sort.
So in the process of construction, before you even start stacking the bales, you have to make sure the materials are watched over carefully.
Yeah, just to make sure, you know, and if there's rain, everything's thawed out, like where they get stacked, that type of thing. So primarily with what you're saying, with, you know, being able to fix these balconies and the things that actually run beyond the skin, I just watch very closely, make sure things haven't got a crack in them because, you know, they're aging or they've been exposed to sun. And so I can replace them immediately because I don't want to ever have to take a wall out and replace it. That wouldn't be fun. So that's about it.
My guest is Randy Crawford, and he lives in Chico in a straw bale house. And he is telling us what it's like to live in a straw bale house because he knows firsthand. Now, Randy, you were talking about the balcony. So that shows us that it's a two-story house. And people might imagine that, well, a straw bale house, you could only have one floor. But you have a two-story house.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's other techniques as well. I'm pretty sure that the upstairs is either a 2x6 or a 2x8 thickness. It's stick built and probably you just a regular fiberglass or possibly even a paper filled wall. So it's just different, deals with the heat different, with the cold different, everything. I don't necessarily think it's the best combination. And there are other techniques still using the natural material of straw and clay in between studs and getting a much greater R value than your regular run-of-the-mill stuff you can get at the box stores.
Well, there's another feature that your house has that is not necessarily due to the fact that it's a straw bale house, as I understand it, but you have heated floors.
Yes, the radiant floors. Those are amazing. Very efficient, you know, and then the heat's, you know, literally just moving up anyways, and it goes right up bottom of your feet and I've really liked it. It stays very consistent. And that's one thing I would have to add when you said things you like about living in it is the steadiness of the temperature no matter the given season.
And in addition to the fact that you have a heated floor,
yes,
a radiant heated floor, you say that your house is it maintains its temperature, even temperature.
Yeah, really nicely. Just holds it right there. Thermostat will, you know, just carry out the same number for days on end. And Yeah, the radiant floors are amazing. I really feel like they take care of everything, even in the upstairs. If anything, the upstairs might be a little bit of a leak, you know. But yeah, and you know, and I think that was just because of the time in Butte County.
It was built.
Yeah, you could not have a two-story straw bale there. It was big enough that they even went as far as they went in Butte County. Butte County is actually pretty tough to get rules through. They're a little behind the times. Yeah, as far as straw bales go. So working with some of the contractors around here that just built straw bales exposed quite a few things to me as far as having to work through the systems in Northern California. Now some counties are just cutting edge and on top of it, and you can introduce new things to them and they have, you know, they have a count of people to basically look at it and discern whether that's a good approach or not. So I think that that's why they did it the way they did it in that house in 2000.
To satisfy the building code and get the permits to build it. So that was 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So some time has passed now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any feeling for whether it might be easier today to build a house?
Most definitely. I think there's been more stuff passed through. I'm not, you know, I might be surprised. I don't know necessarily how many straw bales there are in this area in Chico. I think there's a couple. I know that there's one, you know, over on East Avenue, and there's probably one or two more for all I know, and maybe even up in the canyons. But I'm sure I hope they have, you know, it would make it a lot easier. And I understand, you know, I had a deal with El Dorado County, and I shouldn't say I had a deal. They were actually awesome. I was able to bring mock-ups and show everybody hands-on, a group of people, what we were doing, why, and, you know, just go into all the natural elements that we all have to deal with in our bodies anyways. And just, you know, it made sense to everybody because of that, you know.
So you're serving somewhat in the role of consultant to people who want to know, well, what is it really like to live in a straw bale house?
Yes, yes. I've done that a couple times just on my own, knowing people, meeting people. I've had a couple, even with Paradise, I've talked to some people already as well.
There's an opportunity right there.
It really is.
Now, you know what, though? People are going to say, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to build a straw house in a fire zone.
Oh.
So what do you tell them?
I don't know if there's any videos you could watch, but you could also buy a straw bale and get yourself a torch and just stick it right on one spot. And it's as hard as a phone book to burn. And then realistically, I can't speak for the stucco, but definitely when it's mixed with a clay, you know, correctly.
You would feel safe living in
amazing.
A fire zone
yeah.
In a straw bale.
Yes,
house.
Definitely.
Well, the fire is one thing. We're not really in an earthquake zone, but I would think if I were living in a straw bale house, I would feel much more secure in a straw bale house in the event of an earthquake than I would in a conventional house.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, the architecture, the engineering that goes on with just the frame itself, and then really we're just infilling, or whoever's building it is just infilling around the frame with the straw bales, which is essentially, your wall material, but your insulation material, and they're bound together in a pretty flexible but, you know, durable bond. And but like I said, the engineering in those frames is actually pretty amazing.
Have you been able to watch a straw bale house being constructed?
Yeah, definitely. I've built a couple.
And this, I assume not in Chico, where are these other straw bale houses? If people wanted to look at some straw bale houses, where would you recommend that they go?
There is one. I can't give the specific address, but if you are on East Avenue and you're about looking up on your right to go south on 99, there's a turn right before the McDonald's. And if that loops back actually onto the Esplanade, somewhere on that elbow there's a really nice straw bale on the right side coming from that direction.
Well, I have a friend who's a contractor, and his name is Bill Donovan, and he does a lot of work up in the mountains. And I understand he's built quite a few straw bale houses.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen any of his?
Oh, yeah.
And where were they?
Truckee. Truckee was mostly the only place I'd seen his work. But yeah, he's awesome. He's a great guy to get together with once in a while and just make sure I'm okay, you know, because he's right there with me with all the ideas. And he has amazing ideas, creative ideas for that kind of building. Just really enjoy.
Well, I would think Truckee would be a good area for straw bale construction.
Yeah.
I would want to live in a straw bale house if I lived in Truckee.
Yes, definitely. And see, he used on the one that I saw, he had what is called a natural hydraulic lime, which is also the one that we used on the one that was on in Lake Tahoe. And that usually comes out of France. And yeah, in about 7 years, it turns to rock. It turns back to limestone. And it's amazing stuff. Very resilient. Probably won't crack unless the house is on something or it wasn't built correctly. And, you know, there's other chances, too, it could crack. But that's a...
My guest is Randy Crawford, and he lives in a straw bale house here in Chico. And most construction sites, there's a lot of cleanup involved after the construction, a lot of waste, a lot of stuff that has to go in the landfills. And I noticed around your house, it just looks like some straw. And it looks like that would not be as wasteful, as hard on the environment for several reasons, and that would be one of them, I would think.
Yeah.
Just some straw on the ground, it's nice, it's good for the soil.
Yeah, there's not a lot of waste there. And, you know, the nature of those houses and the building of those is definitely, you know, you got a group of people that are going to really take care of what they got.
Well, Randy, it's been such a pleasure talking to you about this straw bale house.
Yeah, you
Thank
too.
You.
Thank you.
My guest, Randy Dawson, lives in a straw bale house, and he has told us the advantages and what he enjoys about living in his straw bale house. And coming up in the next segment, after a break, I'll be talking to the gentleman who wrote the book about straw bale houses. I'm Nancy Wiegman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. Thank you. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. Contractor John Swearingen has been designing and building homes and community and religious architecture throughout the United States for over 40 years. An early pioneer in solar design and the use of natural materials, his firm, Skillful Means, built the first permitted straw bale building in California. John has designed, built, and consulted on over 75 projects since then. His experience with a wide range of materials and techniques has been applied to developing efficient and sound straw bale wall system detailing. John Swearingen is a principal contributor to an illustrated guide for design and construction of straw bale buildings. John Swearingen, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Also joining us is workshop coordinator Jenna Yu. She grew up in the Bay Area and visited many straw bale houses with her family, growing up as the straw bale movement here in California was beginning to grow. She graduated from the Rhode Island School of Design and Architecture and pursued her interest in natural building. Looking for a place in the natural building community, she became a member of the California Straw Bale Building Association and became its workshop coordinator. Through her work with Skillful Means and the California Straw Bale Building Association, she has worked with people renovating with straw bales in the Bay Area and around the world. She's been working with the firm Skillful Means, John's firm, Skillful Means, designing straw bale houses for the past 5 years. Jenna Yu, welcome.
Thank you.
How did you come to choose a school in Rhode Island?
So Rhode Island School of Design has an accredited architecture program, so that is what drew me there. Yeah. And an interest in exploring any part of the country. Yeah.
From the West Coast to Rhode Island on the East Coast. Now, John, Jenna just mentioned Skillful Means, and that you chose that specifically, and people may not realize that it's a translation from...
It's actually, it's a Buddhist term, and which has many, many different definitions and understandings. But the understanding that I take is basically it's taking spiritual principles and putting them into more concrete form. So it's kind of like enacting maybe Buddhist teachings into the world.
It's interesting that we have that expression, concrete form, since we're going to be talking about building with straw bales. Mm-hmm. And this seems like an idea that, California just came up with this recently, this idea of building with straw bales. Yeah. But that's really not the case. When did people start building with straw bales?
Well, people have used straw in Europe, like in putting it into buildings for insulation for hundreds of years. But the first straw bale buildings were built, and a couple of them still exist, in the sand hills of Nebraska in the 1880s. People were moving out west, and they would build houses out of sod. But then they got to the sand hills, and the sand hills are all sand. And so they had nothing that they could build with. About that time, baling machines were invented, and somebody looked at a bale and said, well, we could build a house out of that. And so the first ones were built there.
In Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might say this straw bale movement goes back to the 19th century in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then how did you get interested in building with straw bales?
Well, some people in Arizona and New Mexico in the Southwest came across straw bale, I think from Shelter Magazine. It was a big publication in the 60s, and started building some straw bale buildings in the Southwest. A friend of mine invited Mats Merriman, who was one of the workshop leaders and kind of one of the leaders of the movement, invited him out to California to give a workshop. And she kind of twisted my arm to go to the workshop. And the rest is history.
Well, what kind of background did you bring to this movement?
Well, I had done a number of alternative construction things. We had done a little bit of rammed earth, done some solar design. But also I had worked with community and spiritual groups in doing kind of joint projects of where like many people are involved. And that's partly why she wanted me to be involved, because straw bale lends itself to kind of voluntary participation and everybody being involved, whether it's your family or your friends or an organization. And so she thought I would be good for that.
Speaking of the Midwest, that sounds like the old-fashioned barn raising. You invite your friends and everybody comes over and helps you build your straw bale house.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that's kind of missing a lot in construction and in building, you know, these days. And we find that even if somebody, you know, just spends a day helping on a house, or if children kind of, you know, put up a few bales in what's going to be their bedroom, they have an entirely different relationship to the building.
My guest is John Swearingen, and he has been a contributor. I may refer to you as author, but that's not exactly the case. But you are a contributor to a book, Straw Bale Building Details, an Illustrated Guide for Design and Construction. And part of your contribution were photographs. They're beautiful photographs.
Some of the photographs.
Yeah. Not all of them, no, but you have contributed photographs. Because somebody reading this, it might be hard to visualize a house made out of straw bales. How does that work? But you have lovely photographs. And how did you go about obtaining these photographs, John?
The book really is the effort. It took like eight years of many, many people involved with the straw bale movement and with COSBA, the Straw Bale Association in particular.
Now, COSBA, before you go further, just remind people what those initials stand for.
Right. California Straw Building Association, which is about over 20 years old now. And we've worked on this book forever, and everybody contributed their drawings, their experience, their critiques, their gripes, things that they would do and things that they wouldn't do. And we put it all into a book. There's a tremendous amount of experience in both architecture and engineering and construction in the members of COSBA. It's always been a very a group that's kind of been open source and sharing, you know, because we kind of discovered this all together and worked things out over the years. And then there's also been a fair amount of testing that's been done at various universities over the years that has also like gone into kind of making the code and then ultimately making the book.
I might mention that, yeah, you've got a couple of pages of contributors, the original detailed committee members, update committee members. You have contributors along this. And as I was going down your list of contributors, I turned the page, and under the category of evaluator/reviewers, I thought, oh, I know Bill Donovan. He's a friend of mine. So I called Bill up. And of course, if you know Bill, he's very enthusiastic about whatever he's doing. So he was very enthusiastic. And I noticed that you don't have everybody's bio in the back of the book, but you do have several. His ex-wife, for example, it was one of your listed in her bio. Now, Jenna, your bio is not in the back of the book. And so you really didn't maybe contribute directly to the book. What was your role?
Well, I'm on the board of the California Straw Building Association. And I read the book and I helped place some of the pictures within the text. But I was just eyeballs on the book and someone who was part of the conversation in pushing it forward. Towards the end, because I've only been involved with COSBA for the past 5 years, and this has been an effort ongoing for the past 8 or 10 years.
Now, I mentioned you coordinate workshops. So who is eligible to come to your workshops?
Anyone. Yeah. So usually people will have a project that they've already got started, like a house or an additional dwelling unit or a shed, that they want to invite people sort of in this barn raising fashion to help them stack the bales and promote straw bale building or plaster with earth plaster or lime plaster. So they'll contact COSBA and coordinate through me to host a group of 10 to 30 people.
So if somebody in Reading says, I want to build a straw bale house, or I'm already getting started and I want my friends to know about it so we can kind of work on this together. So they would contact the Building Association, the California Straw Bale Business Association, and you, and then the word would get to you and you'd say, yeah, I'll set up a workshop for you. So you don't set up scheduled workshops in advance that people have to conform to your schedule, but you make yourself available to, at their convenience. Is that, am I understanding
right.
that correctly?
Right, because it happens at a really specific point in the construction. So, you know, the foundation has to be in. If they're doing framing, the framing has to be in. Some people put the roof up. You know, if it's a plaster workshop, the windows would be in. And so plugging in when the time is exactly right for their construction project and then inviting people to join in at that time is what we do. Yeah.
This is Jenna Yu, and her last name is Y-U. Jenna Yu is a workshop coordinator and for the California Straw Bale Building Association, which they refer to as CASBA. So you are contacted and you come in and set up a workshop on site then.
Right. Yes.
And then, John, you have your own firm, Skillful Means, and do people contact you through that?
Yeah, primarily. That's where they come from.
And is that why you do a lot of traveling?
Yeah, we've built really all over Northern California, but also in Central, Southern California, some in Nevada, some on the East Coast even.
Well, I'm sure that people think, gosh, straw bales, particularly with our history not that long ago of a whole city pretty much destroyed by fire. And you bring out the point in your book that this is the straw bale houses are quite safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very safe. You could say, like, straw is packed together very, very densely, cellulose. And trying to burn a straw bale is kind of like trying to burn a phone book. You know, you can put fire on it, but nothing's going to happen. It's just going
so
to char.
So compact.
Yeah. Then it's wrapped in maybe 2 inches of plaster on both sides. And the plaster protects it even further. So it's been tested, like, nominally as a as what's called a two-hour firewall, which is what they build hospitals out of and things like that. Average commercial construction is 1 hour, and residential construction is half an hour. And it means that you set up a big, like a dragon flame at the shooting at the wall, and it takes 2 hours before you notice anything on the other side.
Well, I might add, this is my understanding, that there is a point where it would be vulnerable to fire in the construction process, not the final product, not the house. But there is a point where you need to be careful. And Jenny, you're nodding your head. When is that?
Yes, in the construction process when you have the bales up, but you don't have the plaster on yet. So we did a bale wrap this past weekend where we sprayed clay slip on the bales to give it some initial protection from fire, because loose straw is flammable and sparks are, you know, the flick of a cigarette, but it could do some damage.
Any kind of spark from any tool or just... So people shouldn't have any concern once the house is built, but they do need to be careful in the process of building it. And John, you were going to add something to that.
Welders and plumbers are the people on a construction site who have flames. But also we try to enforce a no smoking rule. Doesn't always work, but, you know, that's a significant factor. Yeah. But it just takes a little education on the job site.
My guests are Jenna Yu, who is a workshop coordinator for California Straw Bale Business Association. She works with Skillful Means, which is the firm belonging to my other guest, John Swearingen, who has been a contributor to a book on straw bale building details. It is an illustrated guide for design and construction. And John contributed some of the photographs to this book. So he mentioned the fact that straw bale, once the house is built, is pretty much fireproof, you might say. Then another thing that if somebody says, well, I'm not sure how many bales to order. Maybe I only need whatever the figure is. But What would you recommend, Jenna, that they err on the side of too many bales or too few bales and try to order some more if they run out?
I would err on the side of too many bales because you can always use those bales in your garden or...
Yeah, you mentioned in the book that there are uses for extra straw bales.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, your horse can use them. Your horse would be very happy to have them.
Erosion control, you know.
What we sweep up from the job site almost always ends up as mulch in somebody's garden or people come and get it.
Yeah. And also you need chopped straw in your plaster, depending on what your plaster mix is. So having some extra bales never hurts. Yeah.
Now, you just mentioned stucco, and you've also mentioned plaster. So is that something I have to decide? Do I want plaster or do I want stucco?
Yes.
I have to decide that. In other words, it's not both, but I choose whether to use one or the other.
Well, there's three basic alternatives. One is like ordinary cement stucco that you see everywhere, which is...
My house here in Chico has stucco on it.
Yeah, cement, sand, and a little bit of lime just to make it workable. We tend not to do that because it is more brittle, tends to crack, and it doesn't breathe as well. We don't put a vapor barrier on the bales because we want them to be able to regulate their own moisture. And cement plaster is a little more difficult for that. Then there's lime plaster, which is traditional. Before World War II, most houses were built with lime plaster, inside and out. Like if you go to the old buildings in San Francisco, you know, where they have wood lath and you break that off, that's lime plaster. All of England and most of Europe is lime plaster buildings. Lime plaster has a lot of really good qualities. It's breathable. It's a little bit self-healing, and it's more pliable and flexible than cement stucco. Then the third alternative is simply earth plaster. Most of the world is covered in earth plaster. It's a good material. It tends to erode a little bit. There are additives you can do to reduce the erosion. It breathes really well. It's very healthy, and it's a local resource. The other, like cement and lime, they come from some distance away. But, you know, we have, especially in California here, we have some very good clays that make excellent.
Now, you just mentioned clay. So do I choose between clay and earth?
Clay is the binder. It comes out of the earth. And basically that's mixed with sand to make a plaster.
My guests are John Swearingen and Jenna Yu, and they have been telling us about the advantages of building a straw bale house. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. And I'm here with John Swearingen and Jenna Yu, who have been telling us about the process of building straw bale houses and why they think it's a really good idea. So there are various materials that you can use. Now, are you constrained by building codes as to what you can use?
The building code that's now been adopted in California and several other states and is part of the International Residential Code has provisions for all three of those possibilities. So It's like it's totally up to you to decide. Sometimes we're making decisions because the straw bale walls will work in shear. The combination of the straw and the plaster means that they're a structural component. How strong and stiff that plaster has to be might affect our choice about whether to use earth or lime plaster or other plasters.
But if you're making your decisions based on how green your building is going to be, clay plaster is really the greenest of those three options, and anything that has concrete in it is going to be on the opposite end, because when you produce carbon, it emits carbon dioxide in huge quantities.
Now, that's something, excuse me for interrupting, you might explain what you mean by that, because people, what is she saying, carbon and emitting carbon dioxide? What is that process, Jenna?
Well, we're in the midst of climate change, so we have huge amounts of carbon in the air where it should be in the soil, and that's creating an imbalance in our world. So when you're thinking about the energy, the embodied energy in a building, there's the energy that goes in when you're building the building, and then there's the energy required for your building to function as you live in it. And that's kind of the one that we've been focusing on in the past with building, is how much energy your building is using when you're living in it. But a huge amount of energy goes into building your building. And concrete, it produces 8% of our carbon that's in the atmosphere right now. So while it's a good material for certain functions, if you can avoid using it in other functions, like the skin of your building, where there's alternative materials such as clay or lime, plaster, you might consider using something that's better for the environment.
Now, you didn't, John, you were going to add something.
We should say that the straw itself sequesters carbon. There's a lot of carbon in the straw. In the past, the straw was burned, and then all that carbon and soot and everything goes into the atmosphere.
And that was fairly recent.
Yes.
That rice farmers burned their fields after the harvest. And this valley was just covered in smoke.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it is in recent memory that this changed. And then people started looking around, okay, well, what are we going to do with this straw? If we can't burn it, what can we do with it?
Mm-hmm. And with climate change really being sort of the bigger emergency, how much energy a building uses over its lifetime of 30, 50 years is less important than how much carbon gets taken out of the atmosphere and wrapped up. So the bales have a lot of carbon. And then if you minimize the use of concrete as much, then you've created sort of a truly green building that's going to do something about climate change right now.
Because I think most people think in terms of, if they want to be ecologically sound, green, as you call it, they think, okay, I want to build a house where the energy that I consume, I produce the energy, and I have a, what is called?
A green building.
Well, net zero.
Yeah, net zero.
So that's what people are aiming for after the house is built. And they think in those terms. But you're saying the choices you make in the building of your house can make a big difference in the climate.
And right now, they're the most important choices that you can make.
My guests are John Swearingen, and he is a contributor to a guidebook, an illustrated guide for design and construction of straw bale buildings, and Jenna Yu, who is a workshop coordinator and helps people who want to build a house of straw, so to speak. And you mentioned in your book, it's not like the old fairy tale where the wolf comes and blows the straw house down. It's a different straw house. Or maybe we just, over the centuries, didn't realize what kind of house this was.
Exactly. And also, you shouldn't let a pig build your house.
But if you're the pig that lives in the straw bale house, you're going to have a more comfortable house. You're going to have a house that won't burn down or crumble in an earthquake.
No matter how much the wolf huffs and puffs, mm-hmm. he can't blow it down.
You're going to be the smart and comfortable pig.
So if I'm building a straw house, Are the local building codes, are the inspectors going to be savvy enough to say, yeah, that's okay, I'll pass this?
Some inspectors are, and we've had inspectors, for instance, that called around to other inspectors in other counties who had experience and kind of knew what to look for. So that's working now. Certain counties will ask that you hire an outside inspector who's experienced in straw bale, but that's becoming more and more rare now. Now that the code is very, very specific and very clear, it's kind of a cookbook kind of deal. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned in your book that straw bale houses are not just California's usually on the cutting edge of things, but there's straw bale houses in 50 states. And you say that there are over 1,000 in California, over 1,000 straw bale houses here. So the odds are pretty good that you might be encountering one, passing by one and not even realizing it. But if you know what to look for, oh, I recognize that's a straw bale house. How might they recognize one? They might be driving past it in their neighborhood for years.
Well, you might not. But the main thing is, like, you don't have skinny walls. If you have genuine thick walls, that's not kind of a fake adobe style, that's most likely to be a straw bale house. But there are very modern, clean straw bale houses. They're a traditional Southwest style, craftsman style.
You know what? Speaking of aesthetics, because we've been talking about the practicality of it, but just aesthetically, I like the rounded. You're able to make rounded walls with your straw bale house.
You're really not confined to a specific style with straw bale walls. I mean, you have thick walls, but you can do, you know, Mission Revival. You can do adobe kind of style. You can do modern.
Yeah, but people are attracted to that softness, and also the kind of irregularity of it. It's not sort of flat, machined, industrial. The walls have a little bit of texture. I was just talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago who they didn't hang pictures on their walls for 2 years because they were like enjoying like just kind of looking at the walls themselves, and so that becomes a significant design element.
Speaking of pictures on the wall, there are some photographs in your book where it looks like, oh, this beautiful, say, glass design, piece of artwork on the wall. And if a guest comes in and says, ah, oh, this is not really built out of straw, and then the owner can open that little door to what looks like a piece of art on the wall and see the actual straw inside.
Oh, yeah. We call that a truth window.
Yeah, that's what you've labeled them in your book. It's some photographs of a truth window. Truth that this is really what's in this wall.
Yeah, because you don't, I mean, what registers is you have a very thick wall, kind of European style or Mediterranean style or adobe. That's what registers. But there's a little different feeling because instead of it being kind of heavy masonry, there's sort of a lightness to it.
Well, you mentioned in Europe. And I was surprised that I read in your book that in France, there's an 8-story apartment building that is a straw bale building. How is that possible, John?
It's actually pretty simple. You have another structure. You would have kind of a post and beam structure. And then you just build these floors and then you wrap the walls with straw. The Europeans are like quite a bit ahead of us in these large commercial buildings and also in kind of manufactured panel homes. There's a group in Lithuania that are making them and shipping them all over Europe. There's a really excellent group in England that's working on doing kind of low-cost housing out of these kind of things that are put together in a shop and then brought to the job site.
Well, I was excited to read about this 8-story apartment building in France, and I went, well, where in France is it? I'd be willing to make a trip to see this 8-story apartment building. Do you know where in France it is?
I don't know where it is, actually. I mean, I've seen lots of films and pictures of it, but I don't know exactly where it is.
Because I'm on my way to France soon, and I haven't encountered it in the past, but I'll keep an eye out for it.
The French have some beautiful buildings. I'll get you a list.
Okay, good. Well, now, do you have any plans to make a straw bale house yourself, or you travel so much?
Well, I do have a little straw bale cabin that's kind of or like a round cabin with a green roof that's very, very nice and stays very cool in the summer. We're up in Trinity County where it's quite hot.
So you like the fact that it stays cool, whereas somebody who might live up in the mountains, Truckee or Tahoe, would want like the fact that it keeps its warmth.
And where it works really well is in areas like the Sierras and the foothills where it's both hot in the summer, gets pretty hot in the summer, and also gets cold in the winter because it does work in both directions. So.
Well, those are some of the advantages of a straw bale house. So if somebody's considering a straw bale house, I think they would like to read your book because you give a lot. We haven't talked about the details of construction. Your book has a lot of detail in it for those who want it. We've just talked about the advantages and why somebody might want to consider building a straw bale house. But I might mention again the title of your book so that people can look at the details, show that to their contractor. John Swearingen is a contributor to Straw Bale Building Details, an illustrated guide for design and construction. And John, you had one other thing you wanted to add.
I should say also that we decided to write the book in a way that people could think through and make their own decisions. So everything that we've presented there, we've said why we're doing it, where it would be appropriate to use that detail, where it might not be, and present alternatives so that people can really do their own design and do it intelligently instead of just cutting and pasting details.
Yeah. In fact, you say early in the book that look through these chapters. You don't have to read them in order. You can skip to what's essential, what you're interested in, mm-hmm. in the book.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for putting this book together, John.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Jenna, for the work that you do in helping people learn about straw bale houses and construction.
It's my pleasure, truly.
My guests have been Jenna Yu, a workshop presenter for the California Straw Bale Building Association, and John Swearingen, who is a contributor to the book Straw Bale Building Details. Thank you both.
Thank you, Nancy.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf, a production of North State Public Radio. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org.